there and play well.
Toss sweep right for James White. Driving forward.
The Super Bowl environment is all about hype and ridiculous bull that will go on.
Diving to the goal line.
It's a great week. It's about competition. The two best teams on the biggest stage. The team that wins is the one that works the hardest.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
This is unequivocally the sweetest.
Just kept plugging away, just kept fighting, just kept trying to make plays.
Throws pass 104, Edelman runs to the 20, slanting right at the 15. He dives to the 13-yard line with a first down for the Patriots. But he rolls over.
Oh, boy.
And then he favors his right leg. Throws down the right side. He's got Hunt behind the defense. Chased by Butler and into the end zone with a touchdown. His second of the night for Kansas City.
Are you kidding me?
Just cheer up. Put a smile on your face. Do a car wash. You know, get to hang out with Gilmore. You know, go to the mall with him. Do some autographs or something.
Tom off the snap. Drops back. He pumps. He throws it left. He's looking for Kutch in the end zone. It's caught. It's a touchdown. Patriots.
Houston is dead. The defense is dead. They are gassed. The same way they wore Atlanta's defense down in Houston.
Well, nobody wants to see this. Carson Wentz is going off to get looked at in the locker room. The Steelers.
Oh, they got a clock. Half.
No timeouts remaining.
Goal. Third goal.
It's third and goal to go from the six. Roethlisberger under center. Drops back. He pumps. He throws to the middle. It's back incomplete. Intercepted by Harmon. Deflection to Harmon. An interception of the end zone. The Patriots are going to win in Pittsburgh.
It's become clear that tensions between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are threatening to fracture the Patriots dynasty.
Touchdown, Patriots! Gronkowski had Byard on his back. Caught in the back of the end zone by Danny!
It's a catch!
Amendola!
Danny! Playoff Amendola!
He is going deep and alone, and into the touchdown is Jeffries!
They're the reigning champs, and they're going to come out and play like it. You know, we got to come out here and match their intensity.
We know what it's going to take to get the work done the week of. We know what the expectations are. We're going to be ready.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are also on. What do we got here?
Are you
NBC Sports Boston. Plymouth Rock Assurance brings us here. I want to thank Buick GMC for presenting us this hour. We are with the most wealthy man who is at the Super Bowl this year. His name is Dr. Oz. Hello, Dr. Oz. It's always a pleasure because we've met several times.
Yes, we have.
We're good friends. So Tom Brady has this book, and it's full of foolishness. It's full of garbage, as they say. So as a now, you told me off air that you're competing with him one and two on the bestseller list. What do you make of the irresponsibility of the TB12 book?
Well, I've gotten to know Tom because he has focused on his health so much, which is, of course, why he has longevity. All that garbage, quote-unquote, is allowing him to play.
You don't believe in that, though, do you?
100% believe it. Hook, line, and sinker.
You believe, the fact that you drink water and you don't get a sunburn?
No, I don't believe that.
Okay. Well, that's part of the book.
Have you read the book,
yes,
Dr. Oz?
Yes, yes. The key elements are that you control your destiny. And that when you walk into a grocery store, you're walking into a pharmacy. And if you use those nutrients the right way, you can play not just a 40, but as he's now saying, maybe 5 more years. So if you want to feel like you're 10 years younger than yourself, then you want to eat and behave the right way. I mean, who can argue with his results?
What if I just load up on pharmaceuticals?
You know, the drugs are poor imitations of what God gave us in nature.
But can I have fun and then just eat a bunch of pills?
You know, spill a little Lipitor on your kielbasa? No,
yeah. Exactly.
That doesn't work. I can't do that.
Anyway, so I'm giving Tom a hard time because the books are competing, and he texts me back that that this is now his space. I said, no, you're in my lane, get out. So he's trash-talking me, and I know what it feels like to play against him.
Yeah.
But he does a very good job telling the story.
So you're very famous, recognizable everywhere you go, and it's like... I had a friend of mine who was a priest, and every time he would be on a plane, people would feel they had to confess things to them, or like, you know, it was almost like they were a therapist. So how often do people come up to you and say, I'm having a horrible problem with my rear end?
All the time. Really? One of the hosts before we went on was talking about his hemorrhoids, And no, I'm kidding. But the,
what do you do with hemorrhoids?
Since she says it came up, you know, water and fiber to deal with the constipation.
Okay.
And we've got good medications as well.
Let's just talk about rectums the entire time.
That's exactly. Rectum darn near killed him.
Oh, well, listen, that's boom, Dr. Oz. He's Henny Youngman fan.
But so what's been the like most personal and gross thing someone has come up and told you just out of nowhere because they knew you were a doctor?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not so much the questions, it's where you get asked them. So the most dangerous place is on a plane because you can't move.
Right.
You're stuck there. So when someone talks about a perianal fissure or something, you're trying to say, oh, my goodness. I mean, you know,
Can they ever go take a look?
Please. turn and cough. Actually, you know, my first ever Super Bowl commercial is going to be in the first quarter of the game.
Okay.
And I did a commercial for Turkish Airlines, speaking of airlines, and I was joking in the commercial about this, but the commercial's focus is about using your five senses. Now, think about this. Athletes, all the Patriots, are using Gronk, right, who lost some of his function 2 weeks ago when he has concussion. Until that comes back, he can't be the player he can be. Most of us live our lives not using our five senses.
Yeah.
So the whole point of the commercial is use your senses. Elevate yourself. You got millions of hues of light you can see. Look up a little bit. Check out the world around you.
Okay, so I whenever I turn on Dr. Oz, and it's always on, you know, in the background of our studio, many times it seems to be an episode involving the colon. And there was one time where, as a matter of fact, what percentage of your shows involve the colon?
No, very few. It comes up because people, especially Jimmy Kimmel, who loves to kid me on this, he's a good friend, will always take those segments, and I somehow end up in all the late night shows, whenever I have some person play a colon. Saturday Night Live did a skit parodying me, making fun of the fact that I was talking about how gas comes out of your rectum. And they did a great job.
It's like the world's greatest hustler. You are...
it's true.
You have... the first time I ever saw you, and I said, this Dr. Oz, I like him, is that you had a colon that you were walking through.
You made a gigantic colon in your set.
It's kind of tough to miss.
First of all, where do you keep that?
Was that just to show up Katie Couric?
Exactly, make her look bad. That's right. But the thing is, so Oprah's my partner. I started with her, and we would always play around with these organs. And I didn't know that much about television. I'm a heart surgeon. I still operate. Sure. I went to Harvard, my God.
By the way, 1500th episode today for Dr. Oz.
It is. And actually, Oprah's on the show. And she says, I'll see you at 3000. But when we first started, we were talking about the fact you got to go into people's homes, like you guys do. You got to meet people where they are. You want to put a little light in their eyes. Like TV literally is light. But you want to enlighten them and then lighten their load. And the colon takes us to
a
place.
That's a bad choice of words.
Yes, exactly. But think about it. Most of us heard about our colon or anything coming out of our body, sweat, urine, whatever. We heard about it from our mom when we were age 5.
Right.
And if our mom got it wrong, we remembered it wrong. Our whole life we're saddled with misperceptions about how many times you're supposed to go to the bathroom a day and how much water you're supposed to drink. Which, by the way, the answer is you drink water till your urine is clear.
Right.
So you have to actually look at what's coming out of you. Like you would in a car. You would see what the exhaust looks like. So I do talk about it. But, you know, this week I had, Rose McGowan on yesterday talking about not colon, although she did bring it up once. You know, we had Nicole Eggert talking about Scott Baio. So I do a lot of things that are outside that. But at its very core, people
come. You it's not all medical. You do have these guests on to talk about these other.
Well, these are medical. First of all, I do a lot of true crime because it's forensics.
Okay.
You had my cousin on, Bump and Vanish.
Exactly.
Payne
who
Lindsay.
Did a great job. Payne did a fantastic job. But those kinds of shows work because you want to have a medical insight. So if people are having a crisis between each other.
Okay.
If there's abuse going on, psychological abuse as well, you want to have some insight from a professional. I do have an MD degree.
Okay. Right. Well, we have some people call in who have butt problems, and they wanted to see that we have the
problems.
Expert. It's not, but I mean, many of them do.
All right.
So we thought we would have the expert come in.
All right, Brian, your question for Dr. Oz.
Hey, what's going on, Dr. Oz?
Very well, Brian. What's your question?
So I got a kind of a two-parter here. I told my friend I was calling in. He has a question about his butt, too. But my first question is, every time I go to the bathroom, just straight water. Every single time I go to the bathroom, whether I eat healthy, whether I eat crappy, just straight water. What do I do about that?
Well, if you go to the bathroom more than 3 times a day in any consistency, then you need to see somebody. Because when you have watery stool coming out, you're not absorbing the food that you're eating, which means you, for example, could be eating really healthy food, but you might have a gluten issue. So any little itty-bitty gluten, which could sneak into your peanut, to your ketchup or your mustard even a condiment, can irritate your gut, cause holes in it, and then you'll have that watery diarrhea. Does it hurt you when you go to the bathroom?
Oh, yeah, it burns pretty bad. It feels like an STD.
Yeah. There are lots of things, including STDs, that can cause it. But if you have watery stool, you need to get scoped real quickly. This is not worth fooling around with. And you can find that if you have irritable bowel, inflammatory bowel, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, and lots of issues that can cause it. And why? Listen, there's some things in life that are knowable. There's some that aren't. This is knowable. Why would you take a chance? Go figure it out. You won't have to have watery diarrhea every day.
I have a feeling if I spent a day with you, I would be very concerned about my health.
Well, the things that we think are normal.
Massive red flags.
Like, I got enough to deal with.
I'm actually concerned about you. This is, in fairness, this is an intervention. That's why I came
out. Yeah, I know. I did. I had a little too much to drink last night, apparently. And now this is an intervention that's going on with Dr. Oz. All right. We'll take one more phone call. I don't want to waste the man's time just giving out advice here. I don't want to. Grain, is that your name?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Greg.
Love the show. I just wanted to ask a question about sanitary techniques for wiping the butt. I mean, I'm serious about this. This is something that I think parents teach their kids, but maybe don't have the best idea of how specific to be. So, I mean, there are two parts. Is there any difference between going through the legs in the front or going around the back? And also, how...
That is enough of that.
Yeah. So let's go through this real quick, because this is a classic example. Okay. So if you got poop on your hand, you wouldn't wipe it off with toilet paper. You'd wash your hands.
Exactly.
So the reason most of the world doesn't use toilet paper but water is because it works more effectively.
Thank you. Bidets.
So bidets are best. If you don't have a bidet, then you take a toilet paper, put a little water on there, put a little spray bottle in your bathroom, spit on it. Doesn't matter. Just get a little moist. Don't take sandpaper, which is toilet paper, basically, and rub your bottom. That's what causes a lot of hemorrhoid issues. Mm-hmm. With regard to which way you pull, most people probably are better off going forward to back.
To back,
because
absolutely.
You avoid contamination. The perineum can get dirty, et cetera. Why bother with it? And the bigger issue is to make sure that the poop itself is not toxic to you. So if you've got stuff coming out of you that's like cannonballs, or watery diarrhea, like the earlier question, it's not going to work.
You're scaring me constantly. You're a ball of fright, Dr. Oz.
We had a gentleman on our show. I have to ask him about Fat Tony. There's a guy who we had on our show had a blood pressure. What was the official blood pressure that he had?
It was 185 over 101.
What recommendation would you give Fat Tony?
He's got to go to the hospital, right?
Yeah, you go to the ER if you get that high, because you can have a stroke with numbers like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to collect a copay, by the way, when I leave here today. So the most important thing is you get people just to close their eyes, calm themselves for a few minutes. You can drop your blood pressure dramatically in just 3 or 4 minutes by just getting away from the spotlight, which is why it's so valuable to take just a few minutes every day. I tell women in particular, because they get pestered by everybody, go to the bathroom, put the lid down. You're not actually doing anything.
Right.
Just sit there quietly. No one is going to bother you. And if you just close your eyes, you'll drop your pressure. Meditation works. Replacing salt with other alternatives works really effectively if you're salt sensitive. And the number one way is physical activity. You got out there and move around.
Now, okay, so you mentioned copays, and I know that you're a heart surgeon. You're Harvard trained. Do you see clients just like as a general practitioner at all?
Oh, sure.
Now, how expensive is that? That has to be exceptionally expensive.
So I go and operate one day a week, and I actually try not to charge at all.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't need the charge. I make a good living doing a television show. That's right.
What are the cases? Like, why these people?
So I invented some of the technologies we use to fix heart valves from the leg without opening the chest up. So I do a lot of minimally invasive valve procedures. They're the classic. So mitral valve, aortic valve. And I'll do bypass operations. I usually take care of people whose families I operated on. Because for many years, I was doing the most heart surgery in New York. So I have a lot of folks whose relatives have now gotten sick. Or they need repeat procedures. They're charity cases. They come up. And I have great partners. I'm at Columbia University, New York Presbyterian. So they always cover me. The next day I'm never there. So I'm never the surgeon of record. I'll help. I'll lead. I'll chip in. But, medicine, it's not just the surgery. People don't die in heart surgery. They die the day after because some mistake happened. That's what you want to prevent.
Is it true that it's the worst day to have something bad happen is a Sunday?
The worst day is actually Friday night, because now you got the whole weekend without top-notch guys around, because most of the A players aren't there over the weekend.
Right.
So Sunday, at least they can hold you, put your finger on the bleeder till Monday.
Okay.
But on Friday night, that's why you don't want to have surgery Friday if you can avoid it.
Okay.
The best ideal day is Tuesday morning, I think, because everyone's warmed up on Monday already. They didn't come back after a hard weekend, the Super Bowl, and you got 4 days to recover fully with everybody's still at work.
Okay, look at me.
Yes. It's hard to do, but I'm okay.
I know that. We're on TV. I'm reminded every day how ugly I am. Look at me and guess how old I am, first of all.
57.
Okay, I'm 43 years old. All right. Now, okay.
See, I'm not sure he was kidding either.
I don't think he's kidding. How long, in your estimation, do I have to live?
Minutes. I'll tell you what. There's something everyone should do. You should do it too, Fred. The real age test. Real age, it's a free test. It's a couple dozen questions.
This is another thing that's going to drive me. The panic Dr. Oz is going to kill me.
If you download the ShareCare app, it's free on there.
Okay.
And take the little test. Insurance companies can use this as a better way of predicting how long you'll live.
Yeah, I don't need them seeing that.
Exactly. But your chronological age, which is based on when you were born,
right,
is not nearly as important as your real age. Tom Brady's chronological age is 40. His real age, how old his body thinks he is probably 30. In his early 30s.
Right. Yeah.
So when people say, how much longer does he have left? Don't treat him like a 40-year-old, because those numbers are being rewritten completely. And all the great athletes with longevity, and I love the athletes who have been around a long time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There are lots of great athletes who play 3 years and they're done.
Right.
So guys can last 10 years in any league, which is why I'm proud of our show, because if you can do 1,500 shows, you've been on for 10 years, you have to have long people around me have to have the longevity to hold it together.
Absolutely.
So we want to study what makes these athletes able to thrive. And if you can figure that out, which is what you should be doing, because you're around them all the time, then you'll take your real age, which you can change, from being, 57 down to 37. You can make huge swings.
How bad do I look? Like, if you saw me, if I came into your practice, and you had a lie detector on, How bad do I look?
I think that you're a little sallow in the skin. That you don't have the complexion of someone who's just completely well-rested, fully nourished and the like. And you got to lose a little bit of weight. If you're asking me an honest question. We're not live, right? We're not on.
How much weight? I'm 6'2".
Which one of us three is going to die first?
Me. Well, me. Well, Wallach's old, but me. I'm 6'2". What should I weigh?
Someone who's 6'2 should probably be about 190 pounds, 195.
How much do you think I weigh?
225.
Oh, you're out of your mind. I don't weigh 220. I weigh like 198.
There's no way.
I swear to God.
Does he really weigh 195?
I don't know. I'm a potato with sticks. Look at the size of my legs.
Maybe. Here we go. Here we go. Showtime.
I mean, look at my legs.
They are sexy legs. Are you really 198?
I swear to God.
Oh, my goodness. But you're holding it all here in your waist.
Yeah, I know. It's my breast and waist and face.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the waist fat is the only fat that really matters.
Yeah, but you know why? Because I'm so riddled with anxiety that my cortisone levels are off the charts.
That's a good insight. That's why people go like, whenever I see someone who's got a big belly, I know they're not coping with stress well. Because
why I drink so much.
Yeah, but historically, our ancestors, what was stress? Stress 1,000 years ago was not being late for the radio show. Stress 1,000 years ago was not having enough food.
Right.
So when you feel stress, all the hormones that make you think you're in a famine are elevated, including your cortisol, and then you specifically elevate something called cannabinoids, the pot receptor.
Right.
You know when you smoke pot?
Yes.
I don't smoke. I'm kidding.
It makes me paranoid.
Right. So people smoke pot, get the munchies. That's what stress does. So, and then your body takes those extra calories and puts it right in your belly, where it messes with your hormones, causing diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol.
Is that why I'm growing breasts?
Yes, actually, because your belly fat, your testosterone is made by the testicles. If your testicles are the normal size, which are the size of walnuts.
Oh, baby, they are.
Good. So they make testosterone, but your belly fat converts testosterone to estrogen. So you get man boobs because the testosterone is being converted to estrogen in high amounts.
You thought I weighed 225 pounds?
I'm just sitting. I've never stand up here. Look
okay.
at me.
Okay.
Dr. Oz, this is going to be the rest of the day.
You think right. I weigh 225 pounds?
Well, no. Now you look good. You stood up. You stopped slouching.
Like magically.
No, seriously. Now, seriously, what would you say that
okay,
I weigh?
Can I do a thing? 1 second here.
All right.
Okay, so there's no fat under your arms at all.
Yeah.
What's your waist size?
I to be honest with you, I have no idea.
It's probably 37, 38, you think?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I actually
feel the guns. Yeah, okay.
I'd say you're 200, 205.
Okay, fair enough.
Is that about right?
It fluctuates, but you're about right. I mean, 205 is very heavy for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you actually look better when you stand, I have to say it. But you are slouching.
That's because I'm intimidated by you. Jesus, Dr. Oz, 225.
It's like carnival game.
We're going to be on the plane on the way home. He's just going to lean over and go, 225.
I never weigh 225. Do you know my self-esteem?
All day we're going to hear about this.
All right, Dr. Oz, everyone loves Dr. Oz. He's a tremendous surgeon. His 1,500th episode airs today. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
When you watch the Super Bowl, his commercial will air in the first quarters. Or anything else you'd like to tell the good people?
Just, it's all about awareness, about your five senses being elevated. And I got to thank the guys at Turkish Airlines because they did a nice job letting me do the commercial I wanted to. Morgan Freeman did it last year.
Oh.
Yeah, same kind of thing. Make you feel good about the world.
And Turkish Airlines, by the way, is supposed to be actually an excellent airline, is from what I'm reading.
I think they fly to the most destinations of any airline.
And I think that their first class is supposed to be the best in the business.
That's what I hear.
All right. Well, Dr. Oz, it was a pleasure. I appreciate you realizing once I stood up that I am tantamount to a Greek god.
He's getting thinner as we speak.
Yeah. All right.
I'm being shamed into downgrading. Will you turn in cough, please?
Well, do you want to do it? All right, Dr. Oz, thank you so much for joining us. Your CBS Sports Minute with Boomer brought to you by Under Armour.
Listen on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
Now it's getting nuts around here. It's finally getting packed out here. And it's at the point where everyone's looking around, and for a moment you think anyone with sunglasses on indoors is somebody. That's why Zolak is wearing sunglasses indoors, obviously. I'm almost tempted. Yeah. And there's a bunch of people gathered around, like fans, trying to look in and see what celebrities they are. And a lot of them have things to sign. I'm tempted at Wallach and giving you my sunglasses and giving you a Sharpie and just having you walk over there and just start signing stuff.
Well, Faraday's here. It was one of my favorite interviews we've ever done.
Yeah, like, yeah, he's been great. Yeah. I don't know how we can recreate
I don't think that we're going to be able to get him today.
He was great. And Zolak is doing an interview right now.
It's Ross Tucker.
Who's Ross Tucker?
Oh, yeah, from the NFL.
Formerly from the NFL Network. We've had him on.
Yeah, we've had him on a couple times. He's the one who had that story about Brady chugging beers.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Beer chugging contest.
Let me tell you about this. When you are done with the Super Bowl, you can focus on important things like Patrice Bergeron and the Toucher and Red Show presenting Pucks and Paddles. It's the first annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Boston Bruins Foundation and the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. That's going to occur Thursday, February 15th at the Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player. You and I, Wallach, Bertrand Zolak, and others. Well, I guess that's everybody. VIP tickets are $200. They're not sold out yet. I'm very surprised. It's the best team in the NHL. And that gives you access to the autograph session, FaceTime with the team, get whatever you want signed. General admission tickets are $50. For all the information to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com/pucks.
You're going to make someone very angry that you talked about the Bruins just now. That caller earlier today.
This whole thing that you're not allowed to talk about it because the Super Bowl is coming up.
I mean, listen, the Super Bowl, it hasn't been talked about enough over the last 2 weeks. And it's not like the Bruins aren't any good or anything like that.
It's a sin.
Or playing out of their mind. Did you watch? You watched the whole the two Bills?
I watched a good portion of it.
Okay, it was on last night while we were all out to dinner. I saw some of the highlights from it, and once again, I between the Tom versus Tom, you weren't as impressed with it as I was. I think just the parts that I saw. But
they wouldn't go in the Jets locker room, which I thought was pretty funny.
Can you play that clip? Okay, so this is not. Like, I guess that they kept the tape rolling while they were filming the documentary, and they got the two of them together. And so I guess the producer of the 30 for 30 said, can we get both you guys inside the Jets locker room? And this was a great back and forth between Parcells and Bill Belichick.
This Legends Club is pretty nice, huh?
You been in there?
No, never have.
No.
Yeah. I recognize these two rings.
That's the rings, huh?
These are our two.
Yeah.
Is it a two we gave them?
Yeah. Should have never lost that one game, Tyreek.
Have you told each other you love each other?
I don't know.
How about that?
I'm not kissing him goodbye, I'll tell you that. Where can we be going now?
No, I don't know. You know where I think he wants to take us is the Jets locker room.
You got what?
The Jets, you know, because of our connection with the Jets. Not the Jets locker
room. You're not going in there.
Yeah, what do you mean you're not going?
No, I'm not going in.
You won't go in there? Why?
No, I don't want to go in there. What's the point? Let's just
End on a high note?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's good. Why'd you do that? Where's the elevator? Good. Let's go.
True Detective Season 3. I'd watch that.
What did you put the two of those guys together?
What is part... Belichick obviously won't even say the Jets half the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is his problem? What is Parcells' problem
it's
with the Jets?
Loyalty to the Giants, I guess.
He was the Jets head coach.
What's that?
He stepped out into a managerial role with
Jets
them.
Jets head coach and GM.
I know, but it was weird there for a while.
No, it wasn't. Parcells did whatever he wanted. He retired from the Jets. They gave him whatever he wanted afterwards.
Well...
No, there's literally no reason.
He won with one, he didn't with the other.
Sure.
No.
Well, then he hates the Cowboys and hates the Dolphins. He hates everything else.
I mean, he's like two organizations past that. There's no reason for this.
Yeah, what
maybe
is his deal?
Maybe he's just a bitter old man.
Well, suffice it to say, I think he was a bitter young man.
And by the way, they didn't do the best of jobs trying to make it look like these guys like are all, because they had that story about them going golfing together, and they put, you know, let bygones be bygones in 2005. They looked like they didn't want to be together last night. I mean, they just looked like they were both uncomfortable the entire time during the interviews. But I mean, all I know is that I can listen to Bill Belichick speak about the behind-the-scenes stuff and actually be open, because we've been so devoid of that for years now. So any of these behind-the-scenes stuff with him, I'll take all that I can get.
No, and I understand his hatred of the Jets. I absolutely do. But Parcells, and maybe Parcells just didn't want to make it uncomfortable, you know, because he knew Belichick, the last thing in the world he wanted to do was go in the Jets' locker room. But Wallach's right. I mean, listen, man, give the Jets a break at some point. I mean, like, just let them be. Like, what do you want them to do? Like, you know, like I find it so funny that Patriots fans have any animosity towards the Jets in that, okay, so Spygate was Mangini.
Yes.
Fine? Okay?
Yes. Yeah.
What happened after that? Nothing.
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 Patriots got better and the Jets got worse.
Yes.
The only animosity towards the Jets, if you talk to any of the
old-time... Well, the Jets should have animosity towards Belichick, because like a maniac, he wrote that stupid napkin.
Right. Oh, no,
and I remember where I was in a car in Amelia Island, and I was listening to the press conference, and I couldn't believe that psychopath...
Do we have that clip where he talks about that? Because that was pretty funny.
Yeah, they're real funny.
Yeah, it was funny as hell.
It was funny just like when Manning spent an extra year at Tennessee.
To avoid being drafted by Parcells.
It was real funny. The whole thing was a big goof.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Zolak? No, you're not. You're checking your phone. You're not hanging out with the fans. You're looking at your phone.
It's another way for him to get...
Did Zolak get drunk last night?
No, what you missed is that Zolak got another way to be recognized.
Zolak kept buying me shots.
Fans look over and go, Zolak? He goes, what's up?
Zolak,
it's Zolak.
Were you standing there waiting for someone to recognize
you? Yes, you were. That's exactly what was going on.
Well,
see? Told you. Told you so.
Yeah. He was standing there going... He saw three people in Patriots jerseys.
Yeah, so he stood next to them.
I'm going
to
stand here and just look at my phone and wait for somebody to go...
Then you said... They looked over and goes, hey, what's up? Yeah, we're in shades.
All right,
check me out.
All right, very good. All right, we're out of here in 25 minutes.
All right, Josh,
go ahead. So I'm the only one who got buzzed last night
on the reason that Parcells may not have wanted to go into the Jets locker room, and like you guys said, he didn't have any reason, but Belichick didn't want to go in there, and you could tell that Parcells knew Belichick was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If you think about it from a friend's standpoint and their different roles, as an older brother or like an older friend, he just kind of was like, listen, Bill doesn't want to go into the Jets locker room.
It seemed like disdain, though. It seemed like more than that.
No, you're right. No, you're right. Josh, you're right. And that's what I ended up figuring. But, again, just it was brought up on the show that Parcells would have any animosity towards the Jets, which is ludicrous. You agree, Josh, that Parcells has nothing to be mad at the Jets about.
Oh, absolutely. He has no reason. Yeah. I mean, he was the main perpetrator in the whole thing. So he was leading that bus. Belichick has all the reason not to be comfortable. And I think that Parcells knew that, and so it was sort of
I agree with you.
Now, gesture was like, hey, let's get you out of this, man.
Now, do you still, as a Patriots fan, hold, do you consider the Jets, like, your least favorite team?
No, I don't care about the Jets. I don't like them, but I don't care about the Jets.
Right,
they're
exactly.
irrelevant. They stink.
Yes, of course.
Older fans, back when the Patriots weren't winning and they were all horrible, hated the Jets. Old-time Patriots players from the 70s. I don't know.
What, like in 1985 won a round?
Earlier. Like late 70s, early
80s. They were terrible.
So were the Patriots.
In 82,
I don't know what to tell you.
The only time that they were any good
In the 70s, they had Lou Holtz as a coach,
right,
by the way. For
I remember, but if you talk to guys like Grogan, who we've had on the show, they hated the Jets.
So, good. The Patriots sucked. The Jets sucked.
Yep.
And then in 1982, there was a strike-shortened season, and they were good.
Yep.
And then Miami flooded the field, and they couldn't win.
That's right.
They did.
I know.
And it was a 14-0 game.
Stop
and then
the bombing.
And then,
I got it.
And then the Jets, by the way, had this high-flying offense. And the Patriots made the Super Bowl in 85, and the Jets did nothing.
Right.
Then in the 90s, the Jets, the Patriots went to a Super
Jets
Bowl.
Jets have sucked for a long time.
And the Jets trapped themselves in an AFC championship game.
And clapped with glee.
And then the Jets have sucked. Since 2000.
Correct.
They've been terrible.
Just wait till they get Kirk Cousins.
Still awful now.
Well, if they get Kirk Cousins, at least
they'll go 8-8.
I want him to be in the division.
They'll go 8-8. They're not going to go 8-8 this year. They'll go 6-10. But there's a possibility.
Yes.
In 3 years, if Brady's gone, that it could be there could be some
Cousins
sort of fight.
Is 33 and has like two great years left. That's the window.
But this, I'm done with the animosity with the Jets. This is my fourth Super Bowl I broadcast from. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. It's like hating the Lions.
Well, the NFL hates the Lions.
You disagree?
I just like to see you get worked on.
You disagree with that?
I haven't.
You disagree with that notion?
Well, Golden Tate seemed to think that you were right, so I'll take Golden Tate.
And so did the fellow
Hardy,
that...
You, Hardy, and Golden Tate are all in a club here. Yes.
Rich thinks that the NFL hates the Lions.
They've gotten screwed more than any
of course
team
they have.
With
of course
calls.
They
all
right, have.
All right. Here are the headlines.
From the food court at Mall of America, Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
I'm sorry, I'm just fascinated by there's a guy who's watching Radio Row and taking pictures. It's Vikings fan Wallach.
Oh, really?
It's your doppelganger wearing Vikings gear.
Okay, what uniform is he wearing? I can't see it.
No, he's just wearing a jacket.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's Vikings fan Wallach.
Okay.
Over there at the back.
All right. Well, listen, Wallach has been shrewd enough to not have to check a bag at the airport.
Yes.
Me too.
Much quicker.
Yep. No checking of bags.
Well, listen, you guys are world-class travelers. Some of us jabronis just go by the rules.
No, we're not playing by the rules.
Try to just, try to make it convenient for the rest of the gang.
We are the bad boys of travel.
Yep.
That is for sure.
That is.
So the spreads and stuff are all done as far as MVP and the problem. It's still hovering at 4.5. Patriots favored by 4.5.
For the Super Bowl.
For the Super Bowl. Nothing changed once Rob... I think everyone knew Rob Gronkowski was going to come back once an announcement was made. And the odds to win MVP right now, Tom Brady in the lead with minus 125. And then it's basically just everyone else, the field. Because Nick Foles is plus 325, Rob Gronkowski plus 850.
I think Matthew Slater doing his dominance as the gunner.
I put all the money on Matthew Slater.
Matthew Slater
it's
is going to...
It's a massive payday.
He's going to down so many balls inside the five. That it's going to be a Slater phenomenon.
Tom Brady total passing yards. The over-under is 285.
Over.
That's a good defense.
Over.
I'll go under on that one. I'll go
on
under.
Over.
285 on that one.
That's a good defense.
It is.
I know it is.
Zach Ertz total receiving yards. Over and under 57.5.
I'm taking under. And by the way, they did something ingenious here. Is that I got, for some reason, my son wanted a Zach Ertz jersey.
Right.
Why Zach Ertz? He's
a Madden mobile thing, maybe?
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
And they do this thing for $10. They'll sew in an autograph on one of the numbers.
Oh, that's right.
So that moron's going to think that thing got signed.
Daddy, you're the best.
Yep.
It was signed in like stitching.
Yep.
Yeah, he's real clever, Rich. He's going to figure that one out right away. I hope he doesn't figure it out.
All right, Fetty T's coming up aces. Daddy, thank you very much for my Zach Ertz jersey that's signed. Here's a kiss on the mouth.
Well, that would just be highly inappropriate.
Well, Twitter would be outraged then.
I can't believe that. By the way, I still can't believe that story was written.
Dude, it's like major publications are running with
if
that.
If you don't know it, there's a story about the Brady documentary where his son, and it doesn't matter what age he is, his son kisses him on the mouth. What is that, Ambien Fred doing what?
It's got you on the cover of Men's Health Magazine, the hot issue. And it's a picture of you, Ambien Fred.
I swear to God, I've never weighed 225.
This is going to be a disaster. I have to sit next to you on the plane going home. And there's going to be a time. Well, great.
All I'm going
to
do is fireball shots and throw up.
That's fine. And then but Rich, and you know this, there's going to be a time where Fred looks at me and goes, he'll say one of two things. He'll go, 225? Or he'll look over and say, you don't think I weigh 225, do you?
Yeah.
He's going to say that at least once on the trip.
So I've asked you guys both if I seemed drunk last night, and then I asked follow-up questions to that, and then I went, and now I'm going to be fixated on my weight.
Yes, you are. That's right.
And what was my answer to when you asked if you looked drunk?
I didn't say if I looked. I said if I was. You said yes.
Yeah, and he sent a scale of like a 0 to 10. I said, well, you were about a 7.
But I was being quiet?
Quiet and sleepy.
Yes.
That's about a 7.
That's fair. Yeah, that's right.
And also, anytime you got to pull the ripcord before the event is over,
I couldn't do it anymore.
It was a smart move.
I couldn't do it anymore.
Well, first of all, it was late as hell. I mean, like, it was like right around 9:30 when you left local time, which is 10:30, and then you had to take a cab back, which would take about 30 minutes. So, yeah.
No, I needed to get out of there. I needed to sleep.
I just love how Zolak tried to add insult to injury before you left. He wanted to do shots with you.
I can't turn down a shot, and
yes,
I don't know why. Obviously, I can. Like, let's put it this way. If I went to the airport today before the flight and a listener was like, do a shot with me, I'd say no. But, like, Zolak, and he's paying for him, and he's walking around. I don't know.
Dude, have a shot with me before you go.
Yeah, and then I like Jim Murray, and I didn't get to hang out with him.
Yeah.
And he's got sleeve tattoos, so you know he's legit.
Yeah, Murray was at the end of the other table with all the cool guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're getting yelled at because there was a picture that was tweeted out that our program director tweeted out, like, three of them, because there were three tables. But the one he tweeted out had all the people from Felger and Maz and everybody but Zolak from Bertrand and Zolak. And they're like, oh, I'm glad you guys didn't invite the Toucher and Rich crew. They're scum and all this. Like, yeah.
Get off that thing.
Well, I don't even care. It's not affecting me. I find it funny. It affects me. Yeah, so I'll tell you all the bad things people will tweet your way.
Oh, do you have the time? can you make it? Can you stretch out an hour?
Especially after the Dr. Oz.
Well, that I understand. That's good old fashioned busting of balls. All right, let's get Scott and Bertrand in here. Let's get this.
Mr. Zolak,
hey, you want to sit down, Mr. Zolak? Can you sit down, or is it too much for you to ask? Mark, you want to come on or no?
There you go, sir.
All right, we are going
to... Were you in our hotel last night? Because I heard somebody in a room near ours in the middle of, like, at 12:30 in the morning, like, going nuts, and I could have sworn it was you. Like, almost, I could have sworn there was a fillet of fish being yelled
at. Hey, you staying at the Ritz with us?
You're
not
at the Ritz with us. Okay. Yes.
So, thank you for the shots last night that made me...
Yes, sir.
I had to get out of there.
How you doing?
I'm fine, but I had to get out of there, dude. I was, like, going to fall asleep at the table.
You were falling asleep at the table before they poured water.
Yeah. I don't do good with getting up at 4 in the morning.
I will tell you this.
You missed all the Rich's kids video stuff and all that.
Okay.
He's doing a family thing, scrolling through his phone. It was a good get-to-know-everybody.
It was.
That moment.
Well, I think was that your first Beasley dinner?
Yes, it was.
I think that was my 40th.
40th? Hey, you guys are drive time. They don't care about midday, man.
Oh, yeah, right. That's the thing, Scott, is they don't value you. With your big New York Times feature, you're really zero.
I will be honest. I was getting my camera ready because we saw Tony Dungy pull up and getting out of his car.
I saw him go in.
Okay.
They're all staying. All the NBC guys are staying there.
Okay, well, I was like, please let there be a confrontation, just some sort of drunken interaction between Fred Tucker and Tony Dungy.
Call him the elf dentist to his face.
I would have needed about 5 more shots for that to happen.
Is there a more worthless man on TV than Tony Dungy?
Well, he still thinks that the Browns are the best dynasty in the history of football, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he's
still out of touch with reality. It's unbelievable.
Well, no, he's written... what are you talking about? He's written 70,000 self-help books, because that's who I want.
He should write a book to help himself.
Yeah, that's what I want. Is hey, you want a Super
Control
Bowl.
your own house first.
Yeah, what do you got going here now?
Oh, we got a lot. I'm excited for this one. Yeah, Terry Bradshaw is leading us off today.
Was that an idol of yours?
Oh my God, my dad used to take me to Steelers training camp out there in Latrobe, PA, and Terry is coming in now. He used to show how to put his finger. He's the only guy to put his finger on the tip of the football when he'd throw it, you know, and it's just, man, there's nothing better than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So I'm watching, like last year I was watching a Dallas Steelers Super Bowl from the 70s, and Merlin Olsen's doing the game, and he rolls right, Bradshaw, he throws the ball, 1, 2, 3, gets helmet-to-helmet hit. It goes down.
No chin strap on
it. Yeah, and Merlin Olsen's like, that's it. He's sending a message there, and you're like...
Looks like he had his bell rung on that one.
Yeah,
right.
And you're thinking, like,
God, when football is football, it was awesome.
That, like that was like even a little much. Like 4 seconds after he released the ball,
it was probably Ed Too Tall Jones, too. Or, yeah. You know what? It was probably Henderson. Linebacker, 56.
Dirty.
Bradshaw said he couldn't spell cat if you spotted him to see
the T. Yeah. All right. So you guys got a lot of guests today.
Yeah, we do. Jim, who else we have? I don't even know. Turn your mic on.
Terry Bradshaw, you say that?
Yep.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Okay.
Louis Anderson.
That's a hardy guess.
You're having Louis Anderson. Very good.
We can all guess.
Wow. My dad used to beat me with a shoe and put me in a closet. Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, young comedians used to stay at my house and nothing happened.
I want to dive on this show. Cannonball.
I like to be coming to America.
I invited David Spade to stay at my house when he first came to L.A. It was really legitimate.
And Donnie and Jenny.
Oh, yeah, Donnie and Jenny.
Donnie Wahlberg?
Donnie Wahlberg and
you
Jenny
have to
McCarthy.
Ask him about that thing he put in the paper. That was like,
ask about
us
all the
Patriots fans have suffered through so much.
And ask her about all her great vaccine advice.
That's right.
All
right.
Parenting capabilities. All right, everyone, have a marvelous Super Bowl.
You guys
enjoy
have a good
yourselves.
Trip back.
Thank you, Scott, and I look forward to hearing your call of the game. And congratulations on all that you've done this week. And no, you got the thing in the. If they did a feature of me in the New York Times, I'd be wedding.
It's
myself.
Good week. It's going to get me on Adam Carolla's podcast next week. That's what that thing did.
Oh, that's,
so.
All right, cool.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, that's a lot of people listen to that. All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll talk to you Monday morning. Bye.
Bye.